This is the Podcast That Rocked, weekly podcast that talks about news in the world of rock, metal, alternative, and everything in between. My name is Luke.
My name is Alex.
And my name is Rowan.
Hope you all are doing well on this Wednesday, recording April 23rd, 2025. I always realize I never say the date in most of the podcasts. It's usually nice for podcasts, actually for weekly, so people know what they're listening to. I'm trying to be more professional, I promise. If you're watching on YouTube, you see a new, slightly different video format. I'm going to try to show more of our faces and bodies so we don't have to like scrunch in and constantly move to be on frame, all that type of thing. Thank you in the chat room for the super chats so far. We will get to all of them. And if you give us $10 or more, you get your own random festival, along with 55 likes getting Festival Rock or Flop, the ridiculous game that watches us break and see if we can actually make a festival worth going to. We're already at 23, so we're on our way. Thank you so much for tuning in. Alex, Rowan, are we both doing good? Are we all doing good?
I'm doing
well,
great.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Everyone seems to be okay on this Wednesday. I guess we should just jump into it. Is there anything immediate we need to bring up first before we get? I've got a lot of news, a lot, like too much, but we're going to try to stay to our time frame. Are we ready?
I'm just saying, like, the main story, amazing how, like, in the span of a week, this different crap happened.
And we just got an update within the last two hours. Last two hours, we got another update. Does anyone have a distraction? Anyone want to distract us from what we're about to talk about? I'm up for anything at this point. Literally anything.
At this point, I'm hoping this is going to be close to the end of our talking about or having to see this man's face.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm hopeful. Let me have hope.
That's fine.
Until he brings out the next scam. Yeah.
Ice Fest, but it's like I-Y-C-E.
Oh no, why would you give them ideas?
Oh, you know, he would like literally sprint for that idea to patent it too. If you haven't been able to tell by now. Oh man. That camera's a little wonky, sorry. We are now going to have a little bit of differentiation for Fyre Fest. What is Fyre Fest 2? What the heck? We were all going to buy tickets and go, right? Well,
I'm excited. I had it in my bags packed.
Turns out that's not exactly what Fyre Fest is going to be anymore. If you in the chat would like to say that you knew Fyre Fest would eventually release a streaming service and be a streaming platform, you in the chat are a liar. You never thought that. Don't say you did. But that's what the plan is. Did anyone... this is a point where I lean on my podcast co-hosts to help make sense of what we have learned as we've broken some of this over the past year. At any time, please interject, because I don't know if I have all the facts or if anyone does.
I don't think so. I think this
defies all logic.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to fly by the seat of our pants here.
From Loudwire. What if Fyre Fest was a streaming service? Well, this appears to be the case, as Sean Reck, who co-founded the True Blue streaming service, has acquired some of the festival's IP, including a pair of trademarks that will allow to launch a music streaming service utilizing the name. So there will be a Fyre Fest streaming service. What does that mean for Fyre Festival? We'll get to that. Don't you worry. But right now we're going to talk about the stuff that's going to happen. Fyre Fest streaming. And I give credit to Alex, who talked about this in the chat. What was your joke of what it's going to be called?
Lime Fyre.
Get it? Like Lime Wire. Except it's Fyre Fest. Same amount of viruses potentially. Yeah. I don't know how you get a virus streaming, but they'll find a way.
They'll figure out a way. You open the site, something will happen. You're going to infect the family computer just like we did back in the day.
Also, it is mean to LimeWire, because LimeWire did its job. It worked. If a file you downloaded was wrong and corrupt, that's not on LimeWire. So it is Fyre Fest. So LimeWire did its job. Fyre Fest has yet to do its job successfully. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to say, by the way, just like from a business standpoint, this has got to be the stupidest thing ever. Like, Fyre Fest is a name that lives in infamy. The branding is dead. And that's even before the high barrier of entry that Spotify and Apple Music alone bring. Like, what? You really got to have some hook to draw people to move. In my opinion. Oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say another great point that we are also like going to get to in the news that dropped today. But you're right. You're totally right. Go ahead and finish if you have anything, too.
It, I am guessing this right now. The guy who bought the IP, Sean, whatever his last name is, tax break, money laundering. This is like something, this is some Ooh. Deduction he can put on. Because no businessman who is even remotely competent would do this. They would recognize that this thing is an albatross, should not be touched.
Like, does it count as charity to deduct like a charitable donation to buy this from the guy because he has so much debt? And the IRS is like, yeah, go ahead.
Business expense. Yeah.
So the service will start with one fast feed featuring pop music and hip hop, but the hope is to move into other genres such as heavy metal and spoken word. Subscribers to the service video on demand service, SVOD service, can also vote for artists to be featured on the fast channel. They just kind of pump stuff out. Think a combination of Pandora for all the new stuff, but it's streamed directly in a better presentation and you have a little more control over it all. Here's the problem. You're using outdated measurings to do a platform that you don't even have a perfect definition of. Why would people be interested in so much earlier? How are you going to get people excited if you can't even perfectly describe how your streaming platform is going to work with launch time of Thanksgiving 2025?
And that's even before you have a brand that is known for screwing people over.
This is pretty on brand. You just say you're going to do something without having any details lined up.
Seriously, it'll all work itself out on like later down the line. Why should we care about it right now?
Okay, so this is where I invite everyone in the chat room not know to make whatever jokes they want. So if a Fyre Festival was a disastrous festival with like the FEMA tents and like the clamshell lunches with the shreds of lettuce and people had to get like wait in line and fight for tents, what would the equivalent of an app be on your phone? What would it look like? How would it run? How would it not run? You know?
Spam, you know, like those ads where it's like, oh, like, you know, single women in your area want to meet you. It's like the screen is 80% that.
This isn't about
crash,
festivals.
Crash.
Yeah. This isn't about festivals or hype. It's about putting the power of music discovery back in the hands of the fans. We're building something authentic and lasting, coming from one Billy McFarland. He also spoke with Deadline. Music networks are all just programming now. How many music networks are people watching anymore? How many? You can't say that. That's not Spotify, Tidal, Amazon, Apple. No, those are streaming services. Music networks. How many people watching? The ones at the gym that are on the TVs, like you can't control. Are you counting that?
Since when has like MTV or anything similar been M?
Yeah.
Yeah.
TV.
So it has nothing to do with like, let me repeat the quote. Music networks are all just programming now, and I have no interest in watching people slip on bananas. It has nothing to do with music. I needed a big name that people would remember, even if it's attached to infamy. So that's why I bought these trademarks to start streaming network, which is from Sean. What kind of logic does that make?
Somehow this man made enough money to buy the IP. Even though his brain operates on this type of logic, and I'm mad about that. Because at that point, what the hell am I doing wrong?
So
I just don't. I like where he's coming from. He obviously has an idea, and he had a dream. He had a goal. But why? Why attach it to something like this? Why?
And
if you want to run a streaming service, by all means. But why attribute it to Fyre Fest, the most disastrous like destination concert or festival in existence?
Wouldn't it be cheaper to make your own name? Just think a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
What does this mean for Fyre Fest 2 and the festival in general? Essentially, this is an article again a couple days ago. Essentially, the Fyre Festival streaming service doesn't necessarily impact founder Billy McFarland's continued attempts to stage a second Fyre Fest. McFarland retains the rights to the festival and is currently looking for a new home to stage the event after its postponement.
So he's still trying to make it a music festival.
Yes. Asterisk. That's where the news that today came. So it turns out we have some updates as of hours ago, like this afternoon while prepping. Billy McFarland is now selling Fyre Fest.
Oh, wait, I think you used the wrong one. Hang on. Where is it?
Oh, yeah.
That's I don't give a crap if the fire just the brand crashes and burns.
Oh yeah, it's a victory, I'm sure.
Yeah.
From other many websites have been posting about this now. This is from Consequence. Fire Festival founder Billy McFarland says that after two unsuccessful attempts at starting a physical festival, he's putting the brand for sale with the hopes that a new group will execute the vision of Fire in a transparent, grand, and expeditious manner. You're hoping someone will be transparent? That's your sales pitch? I can't do it. I can't be honest. Maybe someone else can try.
Ugh. I can't be transparent. I can't do this quickly.
Here, I can't tell our customers what we're going to give them.
All right.
At least he was honest about that, though.
I guess.
I can't do this.
Okay.
I want to remind the chat that Billy McFarland dropped out of college. Just want to remind everyone that.
I want to remind everyone to please stay listening because we are going to try to get through part of this Instagram post because, of course, he made it a big document and just posted it on Instagram. Let's zoom in because it's like this one pager, like an actual Word document he kind of did it with this actual signature. Also, really? Put your own signature on Instagram? Whatever. Special announcement from Fire Festival and all the accounts. April 23rd, 2025. When my team and I launched Fire Festival 2, it was about two things: finishing what I started and making things right. Over the past 2 years, we've poured everything into bringing Fire back with honesty, transparency, relentless effort, and creativity. Sir, could you please not start lying within three sentences of your big impassioned speech?
He said, he was happening in May next month? And then the Mexican government were like, we don't even have permits from this guy.
We've taken the long road to rebuilding trust. How is that long? We were like one of the first sites and webcasts or podcasts to post that you were doing this right out of prison. And that was less than a year ago. We rebuilt momentum. Did you now?
Where was this momentum?
And we proved one thing without a doubt. Fire is one of the most powerful attention engines in the world. Okay. I get that statement actually has some merit. That doesn't mean it's the attention you want. Also, attention engine? I'm new to that terminology. Since 2017, Fire has dominated headlines, documentaries, and conversations as one of the world's most talked about music festivals. Boy, that is so cleaned up. That is so polished. We knew that Fire was big, but we didn't. We knew that Fire was big. Goodness.
It was a dumpster fire.
But we didn't realize just how massive the wave would become. That wave has brought us here to a point where we know it's time to call for assistance. Now you realize that?
Lulu.
This brand is bigger than any one person and bigger than what I'm able to lead on my own. It's a movement and it deserves a team with the scale, experience, and infrastructure to realize its potential. The goal is to sell Fire Festival brand, including its trademarks, IP, digital assets, media reach, and cultural capital to an operator that can fully realize its vision, to someone that knows what they're doing.
I gotta say this again. What company would in their right mind buy this? Because like, here's the thing. In that case, if a company was interested in doing a music festival, start your own and don't use the Fire branding, because that branding is it's too bad. It's like people will avoid anything named Firefest or anything associated with Firefest. Like, besides that, what does this offer? What value does this have?
What I don't get is I could see someone buying, like some big investor wanting to buy the other things they're selling, not the IPs, blah, blah, the media reach, any digital assets, cultural capital. Some of those things are worth it. And trademarks to own, you're not going to get any value out of. But advertising Fire Festival relaunched, and no matter who's doing it, that will come with a scoff and a laugh from anyone, no matter who you are, even if you're not into the festival scene, music scene, no matter who it is.
Yeah, I think it's a dead brand.
Yeah, call me cynical. I don't know if that's the right word here, but I have a feeling some big corporate company guy that he's friends with, that Billy is friends with, is going to buy this, claim it as a business expense, and they're both going to get They're just going to bury the brand. One of them spent the money so they can write that off on their taxes. The other one made a bunch of money so he can pay all of the fees he owes from, you know, all of the fraud and whatnot that happened before he spent 4 years in prison. It's going to be a big, and it's going to be something really stupid. But maybe then we won't have to hear about Firefest ever again.
I know. Yeah. But then in that case, Billy gets his out or something like that. Yes. And I'm like, nah, dude, you don't deserve to get this out.
I'm not saying I like this idea. I'm just saying this is what I think could happen.
That is a logical behind the scenes explanation. And what that means also, if Billy does get his out, some of his debt is paid through all this liquidation of trademarks and IPs. He's going to try again on a new name.
Do you guys remember Pirate when he tried to launch that in like 2022, I want to say 22 or 23? It was an NFT crypto scavenger hunt, if I remember correctly. I forget the details, but it was some bull crap where you go on an island just like Firefest. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, that never came to fruition because
we're like, find the cheese.
Also,
find the cheese NFT. Really?
Yes. And by the way, someone in chat, you're not cynical. You just have common sense. Well,
thank you so much, Julia.
Let me go back here. There is a clear path for operators and entrepreneurs with strong domain expertise to build Fire into a global force in entertainment, media, fashion, CPG, and more. Fashion? Are we just throwing random words to hope that we get the target audience of anything?
It's a word
now?
Salad.
For example, in the 2 years since we've relaunched Fire Festival, Hollywood entertainment executives have already licensed the brand to develop properties specifically in theater, music streaming, and free ad-supported TV. I guess I'm skipping some of this. To the supporters, believers, and builders who've stuck with my team, thank you. We will pick the new group based on their ability to execute the vision of Fire in a transparent, grand, and expeditious manner. Whoever pays the most. The next chapter of Fire will be bigger, better, and built to last without me at the helm. Interested buyers can learn more at fire.mx. So, Firefest 2 is no longer happening. Billy McFarland is selling all the Fire branding, IPs, any planning along with it. So, chat, how would you feel if we all collectively bought it? Because I'm willing to bet they'll take it for cheap.
Billy, if you are lurking on this chat, I will offer you one turkey sandwich.
Go fund me.
Bag of chips.
To buy the festival.
A quarter.
Yeah.
One quarter in my desk right now.
It's sad that actually might be a legitimate bid offer and no one will try to match it. Turkey sandwich, a quarter. What else we got? I got an air freshener. I got a new air freshener over here. That'll work.
Got a pen shaped like a bone.
Oh, there we go. Now we're getting creative with it.
I have this Lemmy Funko Pop.
Ooh, okay. Now we're getting up there.
Damn. Okay, fine. You outbid me.
So what you're on screen now before we move on, fire.mx, because it's Mexico for whatever. That's a dumb thing to do too, like you're trying to brand it in Mexico with a website, but it's not going to happen now.
At least Mexico stuck to their guns. We don't know this guy.
Mexico was Mexico was transparent in the legal and proper way. That's how you do it. So
we don't know him.
So there's an auction brand asset package, and you could put the brand name, IP, trademarks, and apparently additional information. If you're interested, you could buy some Fire stuff, attachments, traffic, Instagram reach. Oh, they're selling their social accounts. That is true liquidation. They are selling everything. Everything must go. So if you're out there, Billy McFarland's willing to talk turkey and he's willing to make some money and sell you the Fire Festival stuff. Anything else?
Please let this be almost the end. Almost the end of this all forever. Sell it and be done.
It won't be the end. I feel like Billy is going to try again with something. Just some other lucrative business crap. And whatever. What else?
I said Ice Fest. Wind Fest. WYND.
He just does the four elements. Avatar Fest. I don't know.
What a time. Let's move on. We do have to do a quick thing really quick. It turns out we lost rock royalty in the production world, and that also came today. And it sucks when this happens, but it's always someone that always deserves a little bit of respect. Roy Thomas Baker, one of the famous producers of classic rock and sub metal, passed away at 78 at his home. He is responsible for the first four Queen albums being produced, including Bohemian Rhapsody as well. On top of that, he worked from everyone from the Cars and Journey all the way to Ozzy Osbourne. Somewhat more recent picture, not too long ago. This was 2005. Scroll down a little bit. That's him with Queen in the studio on screen right now. He passed away. That's a legend. So I wanted to say RIP to that. I know someone did put a super chat in for that as well. That's a big loss. So respect to a legend in the sense of how much he did. Mr. Baker worked with an array of platinum selling acts, a list that also included the Cars, Journey, Cheap Trick, Foreigner, Ozzy Osbourne, Devo, and the Smashing Pumpkins. Most notably, though, for Queen. So
thanks for the tunes.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the legacy. That is a legacy, too. That is a big,
some of the biggest rock songs and albums of all time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he worked with a lot of big names through the years, too. And you never heard about him like making absolute trash or being willing to sign his name to something that was miserable. He had pretty good standards for that, too, you know. So
I love the integrity.
Yes. Integrity. That's a good word for it, too. Right after we talk about Billy McFarland and Firefest. Yes.
Yay, positivity.
Yeah, we need some positivity, right? This is a positive podcast talking about good things. So let's talk about ghost issues that they're having with their cell phone band because they keep acting up. This has been going on with the UK tour or the Europe tour with the new ghost tour that has been selling very well. People are happy with the tour once they get in. Why does that mean? Well, you know that cell phone band that we've talked about on the podcast? The most recent show in England, people waited up to an hour and a half in line just to check in because of the cell phone stuff. So why is that a big deal? Well, whatever. You might miss the opening band. You might miss waiting and stuff. There are no opening bands on this tour. As someone said,
you're
in the
chat, missing the show.
Ropes at 6:30. Gates at six, doors at 6:30, shows at 8. If it takes an hour and a half to get in and you're in the middle of the line and it's already taken that long, you're missing a good amount of ghost that you already paid for. Mm. As someone who loves ghost, that sucks.
Yeah.
It makes me like wonder like what the check-in process is. Like, yeah, they got like, correct me if I'm wrong here, or remind me, did we go over what exactly they do security-wise to
from what I understand,
make you not use your phone?
From what I understand, it is the pouch, like Jack White and Dave Chappelle use. You zip that up, you check it in, it's scanned, and then you go on your way, you carry the pouch with you. Other than that, you still have metal detectors at many arenas, so you still have to go through the metal detector and stuff too. So those two things alone, but again, this is a big arena show. Those envelopes and stuff, because people are going to throw a fit no matter what when you have to do that, or if it's not working right, or you can't sign it to your name right or whatever. That's a huge thing. It's going to keep going though. One tweak, I'm not on Twitter anymore, but this was a live tweet from someone in line. Been queuing for Ghost for 1.5 hours and still not in. Ropes at 6:30 and band at 8. Whose idea was that? It's almost like Ultima Burning Hand forgot there's 16,000 people to seat. Absolute crap show. Oh.
Imagine also like when the show ends and you still have like your phone in the pouch and you're waiting in line just to get it out of the pouch. Like, you know, usually like in an 8:30 show, especially an arena show, you're probably like, it's probably like 11 by the time it ends. You still got to like drive. You still got to catch trains. You still got to like get home. It's just like,
yeah. And international stuff's very different. Yeah. I like with England, it's going to be very different. So yeah, I agree. Sorry for talking over. I don't know.
No, you're good.
I don't know how this is going to work with the US arenas with parking and stuff.
Again,
how long it's going to take.
If it's anything like the shows where I've been to where they've also done the pouches, people are probably just going to like find ways to cut them open because
they already have.
That's what people have done.
They've already done that the last two shows. That's how so much cell phone footage is getting out. Right now, someone on Instagram posted, let me mute it, how long the line is. Alex and Ron, you'll have to like watch it on stream just to see this like cell phone video. That line is not moving. It's crazy. It doesn't even look like a line. It's a blob of people. Airport. Yes, it's just a big blob of people. That does not scream ghost show. Also, this was England, and My wife brought up a good point about what's been going on the last couple shows on this tour. Some of the Ghost fans that are already angry about this are getting, some of them are getting a little bit gatekeepy towards the other Ghost fans. Ugh, you don't know all the Ghost songs. Ugh, you only like it because Mary on a Cross. Ugh, you're wearing the old Papa mask. Ugh, you're wearing the Prickell t-shirt. Apparently that's been happening in lines as well.
Boo to gatekeeping. Come on.
First of all,
I bought a Prickell t-shirt on their tour for that album. Right. I'm happy I own that shirt.
And this is the Ghost fans in line to see the Ghost show. Wouldn't you think you had a lot more in common than what you had different?
But fighting is so fun.
It's a room to fight too. Where are you going to go? It's just a big mob pit. Two people, maybe if I fight all the people in front of me, I can cut in line. Maybe that's the logic. So
you know what they should do? I'm going to give them a free idea.
Free idea here
with these Yonder. Okay, so you get these stupid Yonder. That's what the company is called, Yonder.
Yeah.
So you get these stupid Yonder packages. You get your little phone pouch. However many tickets you bought, you get that many pouches mailed to you in advance, so you can just put it in your pouch and then walk on in, have them lock it up, and then unlock it on your way out. Nobody has to deal with it one by one, getting through thousands of people.
What sucks about that idea? Oh, I forgot my pouch. I still bought the ticket, though. Right.
You can't come to the show.
Oh, that's going to cause more fist fights than general. Yeah. Rowan, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yeah, no, it's just like a thing where it's just like, it's hard to enjoy all the success Ghost has been having with their tour and also to be hyped for the new album. We'll get to that later on in the video, in the podcast, but still, it's just I feel like if you just kind of, if you didn't try to force it on people, you would have a much better turnout of people honoring it. If you were just hey, we would prefer you not use your phone, something like what Tool does. Sure. I don't know. I feel like fans would just be more understanding, because I feel it's been proven when you show them respect, they'll show respect back to you.
Mostly, yes. And I'll say this, though. This is an arena tour Ghost has earned all the success they've had. If I'm paying hundreds of dollars for a ticket or two tickets, whatever it might be, and I can't enjoy it the way I have to do extra precautions for my cell phone, on top of that, I have to wait in line an hour and a half just to get in, even if traffic's bad on top of that, because parking and traffic in some venues and arenas suck, I'm not going to be thrilled that I have to do so much more to see a band I already like that I had to before when every other band is not doing this.
That's what I'm saying. It's you're just going to turn your fan base against you. And apparently, from what we've read, people are it's starting to feel like that.
New album.
I have another idea.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, make the Yonder pouch the ticket. You know how we get festival wristbands now? And they're if you lose this wristband, you can't come in. Boom, make the pouch your wristband. Or get make an expedited line for people who leave their phones in their car. That should help.
That would definitely help, so long as the metal detectors were good and people were checking them and stuff.
Prove that you don't have your phone.
If you go through the metal detector anyway, they'll be able to find that.
Most of them have metal detectors, so it's you're good. Boom, expedited line.
Yeah, for arenas, concerts at arenas now, they all have the metal detectors that actually scan through stuff anyway.
What if someone hides it or lies.
The liars will be there, but I guess they'll get caught. There's another photo of the outside from a different exit, the lines, several photos of being on the waterway, just these lines wrapping around just to get in. And it's not like they're waiting to buy tickets. They already have the tickets. That's what sucks.
Yeah, you already spent the money, the hundreds of dollars just to get into the show.
And you're going to miss a good 30 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, how's that fair?
Yeah. Hoy, we can't have nice things. And someone else's great post. Happy Skeletor, guys. And it just shows all these lines and cues. So we'll see how it goes when it comes to the States. It's coming later this summer. We shall see. I'm still a big Ghost fan. I just the longer this goes, the worse it's presenting itself to be. And again, there's more problems on the horizon, most likely. Is that fair to say? So let's talk about something positive now. Finally, everyone ready? This is a good little discussion we'll have. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame van votes are in. we actually get to hear what the fans think. Keep in mind, the Rock Hall doesn't normally care what the fan votes say, but this is a good gauge of what people are expecting. Now you would think, hey, Rock Hall, we should actually listen to this so that way people start respecting the Rock Hall a little bit more. Are they going to do that? We'll see. However, sorry, Instagram's being crazy. Wah, wah, wah. Leading the ballot by a long shot, Fish. Over 320,000 votes. People want Fish in. And you know what? That's a rock band. You cannot argue that. That has a band.
Very rabid fan base.
That has millions of albums sold and tickets still selling like crazy. They just played this. They were one of the first bands to play the Sphere in Vegas. That makes sense. After Fish, followed up by that, is Bad Company, Billy Idol, Cyndi Lauper, Joe Cocker, Soundgarden, and Chubby Checker. Those are the top seven of the field of all the nominees. Those names make sense. Going back all the way back to Chubby Checker, you have different generations, 80s, 90s, 70s. You have a good range. What will the Rock Hall do? Chat, I'm open to suggestions because I'm willing to bet only two or three of these names that are voted high that will highly actually get in.
It's probably not going to be Fish too, right? It's going to be...
Why not?
I don't know because, what sucks about this, and I know people are going to be upset because it's a fan favorite. Dave Matthews Band won a fan favorite a couple years ago, and that was not the year they went in. Which is insane to me. Yeah. It's like, okay, they're the number one though. You would put the number one in, right? It's obvious. Nope, they don't care.
Yeah, no, that's why I feel like the fan vote in itself is kind of superfluous. Because if you're not going to listen to it, or if you're not going to kind of like take into consideration, it's like, yeah, this is what a majority of people want it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, what's the point?
So
they don't care.
They don't. They do not. And that sucks to say.
Yes, yeah, so what's the point?
So
you're just going to make people mad.
I am
so willing, we know.
Mm-hmm. I am willing to bet Mariah Carey or Outkast will go in before Joe Cocker and Chubby Checker.
Easy.
That's what I was going to say. Mariah Carey is going to be inducted game. This year.
You know why? Because that's more name grabbing and attention grabbing than Chubby Checker and Joe Cocker. And
the craziest thing, yeah, Chubby Checker's been trying to get in the Rock Hall for decades, literal decades. Like what, since 63 or something crazy?
He's been eligible for since before we've been born. Ever since the Rock Hall existed.
There was like an incident where he like actually protested outside the place because he was like, he was upset that he got snubbed.
Even Cyndi Lauper, Cyndi Lauper has way more rock credit from the 80s and stuff than other names on here. And Cyndi Lauper has a chance, but not over some of the other big names like Mariah Carey.
Yeah. Or even like Joy Division and / Newer. Yeah. I know they were on the ballot too. Like Mariah Carey's probably going to get in way before Joy Division is ever even considered again, even though Joy Division is arguably one of the most influential bands across so many other genres of music. There are bands in the rock here. This is one of my biggest problems with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There are bands in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that were influenced by bands not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Sure. And what I see from this vote, like I see the top three: Fish, Bad Company, Billy Idol. Those are the top three. This is an audience that is an older generation voting who they want to see in the Rock Hall. The Rock Hall has a demographic that is willing to see that and watch that if those choices get in, and they consistently don't do it. And that is insane to me. We want to pay you attention and give credit to what we like, and you have the platform to do it. And we'll pay money, and we'll come see you, and we'll watch you if you do it.
But I like this guy more myself.
Right, and that's it. And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Like, don't worry. We'll ride the Christmas train with Mariah Carey. It'll be great. It'll be fine.
Ooh, and you know they'll do a live version of All I Want for Christmas, even if it's not Christmas time, because it's never Christmas time there. Oh, yeah.
No.
Absolutely.
I would rather someone put like a drill through my head.
I know it's February here at the Rock Hall, but we're going to make it Christmas right now. You know, that type of thing.
Close enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's still winter, right? That counts.
Yeah. It's Christmas somewhere, right? No, actually, that's not how that works. So we shall see. I want to say the nominees don't get announced until inductees will be officially unveiled during Sunday's episode of American Idol on Sunday, April 27th. So we'll find out next week for the podcast. Oh, no.
Zero hope.
So next week, yay, join us as we go over who got in and who got the hard snub. By the way, if they're revealing it on American Idol, a non-rock TV show, guess who's gonna get nominated?
I will be so shocked.
Not a chance it's gonna be the top five. Not a chance. I bet a kidney. So, let's talk about some actual rock stuff. And this time it's more punk and pop punk, and it's weird. The Riot Fest 2025 lineup got announced, the 20th anniversary, well, 20 years of Riot Fest in Douglas Park this year, headlined by many punk bands and pop punk, a little bit of hardcore thrown in there. And not only does it have headlines from Green Day, Weezer, and Blink-182, it's Weird Al Yankovic. I'm sorry. The fact that we might get Weird Al singing and performing with some of these bands is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got to come out with like someone like with some hardcore band like Jawbreaker with the accordion, right?
See, they have Knocked Loose on there. And Poppy can't make it. So what if they did Knocked Loose, Suffocate, but it's with Weird Al instead of Poppy?
That would be awesome.
Come on.
He somehow makes the accordion say Suffocate or have like the same cadence.
And he has like a blonde wig just to like kind of act like Poppy too.
He's dressed like Poppy. Poppy's hair is black now. She's going the black look.
That's true. Yeah. So the lineup also features a lot of pop punk and punk and just punk rock in general. Alkaline Trio, All Time Low, Knocked Loose, Jawbreaker, Dropkick Murphys, Bad Religion, many, many, many more. And the Beach Boys. So some of you might be thinking, they're still touring. They're still performing. They're still alive.
Does this mean John Stamos is going to play at Riot Fest?
And that's the joke. And John Stamos even made a snarky little joke about it, saying, yes, Riot Fest is finally going to get John Stamos. For those not aware, the running joke for years, John Stamos will not be at Riot Fest. Last year, they had a sculpture made of butter to look like John Stamos. That's the ongoing joke. Well, 2025 is the year. It's actually going to happen. Any thoughts, Alex and Rowan, on the lineup? Alex?
I like it. I think it's fun. I think it's got a lot of nostalgia, especially as you said, in like that pop punk area. I think it's fun. I think this is going to be a good lineup. Personally, I am missing some of the metalcore and like more of the metal, but I do love the direction they took it this year.
Rowan, how about you?
No, same with Alex. I'm cool with like kind of like the more punk and weird bands kind of like getting the attention. One band in particular that I cannot believe is actually like going to be a part of this is Max Sabbath. Yes. To anyone in the chat who is unfamiliar with Max Sabbath, they are a Black Sabbath cover band, but their whole shtick is they dress up as evil versions of McDonald's mascots, and they rework like classic Black Sabbath songs to be fast food themed. So instead of Iron Man, you have I Am Frying Pan. It's some crap like that.
Everything he just said is accurate.
Yeah, I did not make up a single thing. The lead singer is a satanic looking Ronald McDonald. Grimace is the bassist, I believe.
Grimace is almost scary as the real Grimace.
Yeah, no, seriously. And they brought back the Hamburglar, but they gave him tuss.
So,
dude, you have not lived until you hear Ronald Osborne singing Sweet Beef.
Yeah, and I've never seen him live. I've never seen Max Sabbath live. So you know what? Might be worth it. They also have more comedy bands than that, too. They have Puddle's Pity Party, which I've talked about on the stream before. The 6'8" Clown, who sings extremely sad versions of well-known songs, everything from the Gilligan's Island theme all the way to stuff like Beach Boys and things like that. They also have Ebo Phillips, who was with Weird Al in that movie UHF. He's a stand-up comedian. They're adding a little comedy to it as well, maybe for just one stage. I'm not sure. Also, who's going to be there, along with all these punk bands, punk royalty, pop punk, and the pop punk royalty? Hanson. That's right.
Bop.
Mm-bop.
Mm-bop. in Chicago.
I saw that and I'm like, what?
So some of you might be wondering, this is much less metal than previous years, even though they have some. That's because it's the same weekend as Louder Than Life, and there's some longevity clause, like proximity stuff, and that might be part of the reason why. And UWP is quite vicious about that stuff, about overlap with other brands. I kind of like the direction that, okay, if we can't do this and we have to do it on this weekend, we know how to build different guns. Let's do Green Day. Let's do Idols. Let's do Jack White. Let's do Sex Pistols with Frank Carter. That's actual punk too. Like all this other stuff. So they went a good direction with it. Bad Religion's always a blast. Dropkick Murphys are fun. Guys, Weird Al Yankovic. How can you say no to Weird Al? So.
Yeah, this is super fun.
Mm-hmm. So tickets going to go on sale. If they're not already on sale, they will be soon. All the lineups of stuff online. Just look up riotfest.org or Riot Fest on all the socials. By the way, the Riot Fest socials do not mess around. It's kind of like Wendy's socials. They will straight up troll you and embarrass you if you try to start anything. As it should be. So,
yeah,
as it should be. And also we found out they posted today 20 more reasons to be excited about the Riot Fest lineup coming tomorrow, which means there's a good chance more bands are getting announced to the already stat like long list of bands tomorrow. So we'll go over that next week as well once it posts. So as we start to wrap things up, we have one more story to talk about. This is not as positive, but maybe it's positive for one or two people. When you leave a band, it's usually a hard decision. But you have to leave a band mid-tour and mid-day when you're about to perform. Usually decisions are pretty easy to make if it's that bad, because A Killer's Confession is having that issue right now. Rowan shared this. Rowan, can you give a brief explanation of what's going on that you know of about A Killer's Confession?
So basically, first of all, this isn't even the first man in the band to leave
this tour.
To leave the band on this tour. Yeah. So basically, like, the one who is leaving is Max Carrillo. He is one of the guitarists for the band, and he posted on his Facebook account, "Quitting A Killer's Confession, not good human beings. No wonder the drummer and merch guy quit at the same show. That's for so being bad. Treated super badly." Also found out they're trying... By the way, here's... it's not even done yet. Also found... This is also from the... This is also his, like, quote. "Also found out they're trying to create a fake scenario about me behind my back, saying I got drunk on stage and fell off, and then telling me the other drummer wanted to get rid of me to try and turn me against him, when the whole time they talked about replacing the drummer and bassist behind their back." So just a lot of gaslighting going on, apparently.
This is some high school cafeteria drama garbage from a...
This is the drama my band had.
From an extreme metal band. Get out of here. So
get out of here
with this. When you see the image on screen, like for A Killer's Confession, and then you see this, it's like, oh wow, you guys can't even keep it together, really? And I look at this also, I don't know if you guys remember over the past, like in the 2010s, Puddle of Mud and Wes Scantlin were having serious issues with band members literally quitting on stage, just putting down their instruments and leaving. This is what
do you
this
blame
is
them?
No, I don't. Considering recent events, I mean, they made the right call. But looking at this, it's giving that type of vibe for how bad it's getting. So
you know it's got to be bad, because, like, especially when the band has like some notoriety and they're going on like a tour, there's got to be like legal stuff where it's like you have to perform or something like that. There's got to be like some insurance by the label or the venues to make sure the show goes on. If the guitarist and the drummer are quitting hours before a show, You're kind of screwed.
Yes, they are. But also, I'd be willing to bet for like bands like this and venues they play at, there probably is less red tape and like precautions. They probably are just like, oh yeah, come play.
I guess. Yeah. But then it's just like, okay, now, okay, great. Now we got to find a guy who can play guitar, knows our songs.
And that's a hard ass too. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, how many people, like, honestly, how many people could say, like, I know every Killer's Confession song. I just happen to live in your area.
Yes. And I'm willing to tour and drop everything right now. Also, all that stuff that the guitarist posted, it doesn't bother me one bit. I'm sure I'll be a good fit. You guys will get along with me just fine.
Yeah. All the manipulation, all the Game of Thrones like stuff going on.
Whatever.
Apparently, it's cool.
He was being emotional online. Whatever. So
I just want to be like part of the ride.
Someone in chat just said, "A leaving band member's confession."
Yeah,
So we now move on. Let's talk about some positive things, because a lot of tours just got announced this past week, along with festivals. However, excuse me a second.
Bless you.
Thank you. I'm still kicking that cough. I embarrassed my wife grocery shopping earlier because I was having a coughing fit that I'm trying to kick. She's like, could you not do that? I can't fight it.
People are staring.
God, I think they
might are you breathing?
So there is one more festival we need to talk about that was announced. And it's not just a festival. It's a destination. What does that mean? A festival and a destination vacation. Kind of like what Tool did. In fact, it's the same company that ran with Tool. Remember that Tool festival they had on the beach? Same company.
The class action lawsuit?
Uh-huh. Well, the same company is rocking a different one, but with a different vibe. Rock the Tides. That's a party, right? You know what that means? It's going to be Def Leppard and Motley Crue's 80s festival on the beach. A destination festival. Alex Rowan, you want to go?
Yeah.
Let's
do it.
Man, oh man. Rock the Tides, Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Bret Michaels, Extreme, The Struts, Buckcherry, Dorothy, Living Color. They got the 80s vibe and they just said, screw it. Just fill it out with anyone you can find.
It still works. Like, it all fits the kind of vibe. And I can't explain exactly why, but it does.
Yeah, Buckcherry and Motley Crue. Yes, that is a vibe. But that is a vibe, yes, for sure.
And then Dorothy, she kind of fits in with, like, I don't know, the vibe. I mean, her doing that collaboration with Flash.
I hope she has at least a 20-person security team, because all of those creepy guys are going to try to follow her on the beach.
Oh, damn. She is the only woman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Dorothy, you better have an entourage.
Just protect from some of the people in Motley Crue alone, let alone the fans. Waka waka. Also, a great joke from Alexis Mancala of Three Teeth. I like how the band names are washed up on the shore, posting out the poster. That's actually pretty clever. So
it's pretty good.
I'm not personally interested, but if you are, that'll be November 7th through the 9th on the same island and same area that they had the Tool Festival.
I know. Sorry. I think I got something with,
I'll be getting ready for Thanksgiving. I'll make plans. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I will find plans. I will reach out to anybody and make plans.
It just bothers me a little bit also, because you look at a festival like this and you go, you want me to be in a private resort with Motley Crue and Buckcherry. I'm sorry. If I want to pay thousands of dollars for a vacation, I don't want to be worried about catching something. So
I kind of bad. For a couple. Def Leppard is fantastic.
Blast. No, Def Leppard is fantastic. I agree. The Struts are fun live. They are.
The Struts are good.
Living Color is good.
They just played at WrestleMania. I mean, it was a blast to see them do that too. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. All right. We got upcoming albums and tours to talk about as we are slowly running out of time. So, Alex, what tours got announced this past week that you would like to share with us?
In addition to the Motley Crue Def Leppard Destication, we've got Pulp. Pulp just announced a 2025 North American tour. Okay. This is, they're also going to be supporting their first album in like nearly 24 years. So kind of a big deal. If you're a fan, go check that one out.
Okay.
We've got Avatar just announced some early 2026 European tour dates.
Okay.
Bryan Adam just announced some North American tour dates.
Nice.
So some classic rock. We've got a couple more classic rock dates this time.
Avatar and Bryan Adams, they're definitely on the same tour, right? Same vibe?
Absolutely. How'd you know?
I know. Just a guess.
In addition, on the classic rock front, there was somebody else. I don't remember who.
Okay.
We'll get back to that. It's fine. Orange Goblin just announced their final shows for December.
Okay.
We've got Kublai Khan, Drain, Gideon, and Guilt Trip just announced a U.S. tour.
That will be a blast of a pit show, but also watch out for crowd killing on that one because it's going to get ugly.
Absolutely. Kublai Khan is great.
Yeah, and Drain had one of my favorite albums in 2023. So.
Oh, yeah. The Used just announced a fall 2025 leg of their 25th anniversary tour.
Mm-hmm.
So go check that one out. We Came as Romans, as well as After the Burial, Brand of Sacrifice, and more, North American and European tours coming from them.
Very nice.
On that tour, I gotta say, this is a band called Johnny Booth from New York. They do not get enough love. Chat, if you're a fan of metalcore, you gotta listen to Johnny Booth. They make some great stuff. Seriously. They had an album in 2023. Just listen to the song Full Tilt off that album alone, and like you'll understand why I like them so much.
Fair enough. Don't miss that one. With We Came as Romans, Cypress Hill 2025 Dank Days of Summer Tour just announced, and then Behemoth and Rotting Christ with Satyricon.
Okay. Lots of stuff to check out. Also, We Came as Romans released a new song as well. Before we get to new upcoming albums, I will say this. Ghost released their new song off their upcoming album this Friday, which I know Rowan's about to talk about now. So, Rowan, go ahead and take it, because my wife is listening and wants to hear about all the Ghost stuff.
Wait, let me rephrase real quick. The Behemoth thing is actually happening this Friday, and it's a live stream of their ever headline performance. So,
gotcha.
Sorry.
Okay, we got a pretty decent lineup for this Friday. So right now we have Machine Head with Unatoned. We have Landmarks with The Darkest Place I've Ever Been. I liked their last album that came out in 2021, but I'm not gonna lie, I haven't really listened to them since then. But now that when I was doing the research for this list and I saw that they were releasing a new thing, I was like, okay, cool, awesome. I like their last album. I might check this out when it drops. And I'm really excited about this too. It's confirmed that we have new Linkin Park and new Sleep Token coming this Friday.
Yep.
Linkin Park's new single Up Shatter is coming out this Friday, and Sleep Token's song Damocles is coming out this Friday, and I am hyped for both.
Yes.
And then finally, we have something that you all have been waiting for. We have Ghost Seeker with their debut album Divergence.
That was actually a pretty smart segue. Well done, Rowan. That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, thank you. And then I know what you actually guys are here for. We have Ghost with Skeleta coming out this Friday. Really looking forward to it. Singles have been awesome. Yeah, no, seriously. Ghost, for all the issues with the phones and everything and all the jokes we make about it, in my opinion, they haven't had a bad record yet. So I seriously am looking forward to this.
Fair, well said too on that. We're Ghost fans. We can still complain about certain situations. We're definitely still fans. So
yeah, we're not sycophants. That's yeah.
So also for our song of the week, it is Alex's turn to make a choice. Alex, would you like to talk about the song of the week for this April 23rd?
Sure. So I picked Karen Dio. She did a cover of Casual by Chapel Roan. Mm-hmm. I liked this one because it's got super angsty, 2000s, lady rock vibe. If you remember the early 2000s, or you look up anything from the early 2000s, that angsty girl rock, that's what this feels like. And it's a cool cover. So check it out.
Karen Dio, we'll link the Spotify link to the song on the podcast post when I make it tomorrow, if you want to check that out or you need a link to it. Karen Dio, D-I-O with a tilde over it. Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know.
Karen with Casual. Thank you. So thank you so much for the super chats that have come in. We are eight likes away from getting a standard round of Rock or Flop. We do have some super chats to go over through. Thank you so much, everyone, for the super chats as well. Here we go for some of those. From Ellie Yeats, let's have an RIP to producer Roy Thomas Baker. Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's life. It does happen. He lived a great long life and contributed a lot. Excuse me. From Rockin' Movies with Tyler, who also renewed his channel membership. Thank you so much for that. He gets all the early access stuff too when you do that for Rocked. From Rockin' Movies with Tyler, my first review in months is finally up, and he's a special guest. It's on my friend Ian Fisher's new album, Go Gentle. Also, check out the latest monthly mistling log from Viral Rack, put out since he also listened to the album. Viral Rack's another YouTuber that does a lot of reviews and stuff. So, yeah, and then Rockin' Movies with Tyler, if you want to check that out too, you can look up that on, what is it, Ian Fisher's new album. So check that out. Thank you again, Tyler. And from ZombieBerry27, I want to point out another album coming out this week is the new album by Alluvite. Boy, I always have trouble pronouncing somebody's name, called Anv, A-N-V. I hope people can check it out. I do remember that band for the New Music Night streams. So more new music coming out. Thank you so much. Alex and Rowan, are you ready to book some festivals?
Well, before we do, I do just want to say one thing.
Oh, that's right. Go ahead.
Yeah. So So chat, just to give you like some background, I caught Spiritbox's Manhattan show last Friday. And first of all, it was freaking amazing. Like Dying Wish and Loathe were the opening acts. Both of them killed it. Mm-hmm. I crowd surfed for the first time in my life, which was just awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, finally,
congrats on no injuries.
Yeah, no, yeah, it was awesome. Actually, I didn't. You shouldn't say that because I still got injured. There were plenty of times where other crowd surfers would just kick me in the back of the head while trying to take like photos or videos. There was a lot of crowd surfers. Side note, if you're 250 plus pounds, please don't try to crowd surf. Please.
So
that's all okay. I'm going to say.
I got to say this. There's a picture that I took of the show in Maryland. If you're like on the stream right now too, like just how good the stage production is for Spiritbox. I have to pull out the best burn I ever saw when someone made that comment. And I understand their argument too. Many people say that about crowd surfing. Someone said this in like a Facebook post years ago. Could everyone not stop crowd surfing if you're over this amount of weight? First response from a woman. Just say you don't lift, bro. I thought it was pretty funny. So
I guess, yeah, but when you have like when you didn't know the crowd surfer was coming and then suddenly you have a guy on your back and you have to squat up just to not die. I don't know. I would prefer he not be 100 pounds heavier than me. But
I mean, that's fair. But you know what? Spiritbox demands an active set. And someone else complained about the Maryland one, too. It was like, I would have enjoyed it more if I didn't have to constantly watch for crowd surfers, regardless of weight. You got to keep an eye out. But you
that's
know
part
what?
Of yeah, riding no, the rail.
It is. That really is.
If you're up front, you know you're going to get boots to the head constantly.
I also slipped on a beer in the mosh pit and my leg still hurts. But that's beside the point. But the I do got to say this, too, because this is just like a cool way to end the night. So the Spiritbox finishes their set. The lights come on. I'm drenched in sweat. My shirt's like unbuttoned and I just look like I just came out of a war or whatever. So I'm like, okay, cool. Time to start heading home. But before I left, a guy came up to me and just like, hey, you're Rowan? I watch your podcast. Yes, chat. I got to interact with one of you guys in the wild for the first time ever. His name is Sebastian. Sebastian, if you're in the chat, if you're listening to this, like, dude, just thanks for saying hi. I'm not gonna lie, that just genuinely like was just like it made me feel really good. It was just like such an awesome way to end the night. And like, no, it was just kind of cool interacting with one of you guys in real life. It made things feel worthwhile. So I just want to say thanks.
Also, I'll add to that. Thank you to anyone that says hi to us in IRL and like in the wild. And if you're normal. And actually talk like a normal person. If you're weird, Sebastian, be real calm.
Thank you for being normal. Thank you for not being a creep.
Be an actual human being. Thank you. Now we need to book a festival. Or a few, actually.
Woo!
Five more likes. We'll do a regular round of it as well. We have some super chat ones to go through. So every week, we book some random festivals in Festival Rock or Flop, where we try to figure out how to book a random radio station festival for bands on one day. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's terrible, and sometimes it's just confusing. Let's see what we got. First up, we go to Tyler Fest. Tyler, thank you again for the super chat. Five more likes, everyone in the chat, if you do want an extra round of this, by the way. Tyler, first up, we're going to go for you and to make sure that nobody actually accuses me of cheating. This is the folder. Get rid of that. Here we go. Band number one, Tyler Fest. New Year's Day. We've had them a few times. Okay. Hi. Nice little opener. Number two, Judas Priest. It's already looking good. Already looking good. Number three, Creeper. I love Creeper. Modern day Meatloaf, but Meatloaf, but heavier and more fun and not awful at times. Some of Meatloaf got awful near the end. Creeper's great. And number four, Escape. We did have Escape the Fate last week, so we have to move on from that one. Number four, Panic at the Disco. Judas Priest and Panic at the Disco on the same bill.
I'll take it.
I'll go.
Theatrical.
Yes. I'll go. I'm confused, but I'll go. Rowan, how about you?
Yeah, I'll go.
Chat, how about you? Yes or no? Would you go to this? Honestly, this is the perfect radio station festival for Lincoln, Nebraska. just get whatever bands you can find and like get them there on the same day.
I mean, who's touring in the area?
Yes, whoever is touring, get them. We don't care as long as they can arguably somewhat fit the vibe. Judas Priest will headline Panic at the Disco. We got Creeper and we got New Year's Day.
Down. Yes.
It's random, but I'm saying yes. Good little festival.
Chad's saying yes.
Yeah, I'll go. Judas at the Disco. Maybe up for it. Probably not. Yes. I've seen more yeses than no's. It's like, guys, even if this is random, it's harmless. You can't be upset about this one. So you know what? And Tyler said yes also, the person that sponsored this one. So you know what? Go ahead. And then we also have Zombie Berry, Zombie Fest, which also has a nice name to it. I prefer Zombie Fest to Berry Fest. So we'll go with Zombie Fest. Band number one for Zombie Fest. Avenged Sevenfold.
Awesome start.
Okay, that's a big one right there. Number two, Static X.
Ooh.
Heavy little vibe to this one. Number three,
kind of
21 Pilots. Different vibe indeed. Avenged Sevenfold and 21 Pilots.
I was about to say, for the first two acts, it felt like it fit the zombie theme a little bit.
It did, until 21 Pilots is definitely a left turn, but that's going to make money. I mean, that's going to make a lot of money, no matter what.
It's not a bad left turn. It's weird. It's very juxtaposing, correct, but it's not bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can tie it together.
Number four. Code Orange we did have last week. We got to move on from Code Orange. Deftones.
Ooh, yes.
Oddly enough,
that's a yes for Deftones. Right away.
That's pretty good. 21 Pilots also.
I think it kind of works. Honestly, it's got a vibe.
I don't know how I could say no to this.
I don't know how anyone could say no to this.
Yeah, yes, it is. There is a bit of chaos thrown in. Absolutely. Radio station festivals just want the money. This is exactly what they would dream of. Avenged Deftones and 21 Pilots on the same bill? They'd probably be rolling around on the carpet in their office just laughing hysterically at how good this will be for sales.
Ugh. I get.
I'd go. I definitely go. So... I see some yeses. Zombie said Avenged Sevenfold and Deftones. Yes, perfect. So we already got the sponsor already happy. I'm a yes. I'd go yes, yes, haha, yes, yes, definitely yes for all. You know what? I think that's our other one.
Woohoo.
Very nice. Man, I sure did a good job from Zombie Barrett. You did. You clearly had the input into all that. Well done.
Really controlling the bot.
Yes, exactly. He like somehow hacked in to my random image generator somehow, and that's what he did with it. It could be worse. If I'm going to have a hacker, fine. It could be worse. So, thank you all for hanging with us for the podcast that rocked this week. It was an interesting week. We'll have more news next week, especially with who's going into the Rock Hall. Boy, do I not have high hopes. I hate to be a downer. I'm just saying, I really don't expect a miracle.
If you don't,
just being honest,
if you go in with no expectations, you won't be disappointed. Just remember that.
Oh, I could still be disappointed. I promise I could still be disappointed. So that being said, before we start closing up the show, Alex, you have anything you would like to update everyone with?
I think we're good.
Rowan, how about you?
I'm good too.
Very nice. For those who have not seen it, I posted a new video on Monday. 10 bands whose debut album was their best album. I give my personal opinion on bands that actually had their debut as their best. Pearl Jam's 10, Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction, The Killers' Hot Fuss, think bands like that. So if you want to see that video, it's on the channel right now. Thank you so much. Someone just said tomatoes at the ready as if they're preparing. So, all righty. We now close. Alex, your joke of the week.
All right. What do a tick and the Eiffel Tower have in common?
It's got to be something like blood or sucking or... It's got to be on there. I know. I don't know if I've been able to think it. Rowan, you got anything?
My brain is like, has right, like 100 different thoughts at the
Rowan,
same time.
Rowan and I are like, there has to be a connection. A tick in the eye.
So close. Thinking. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
They're both Paris sites.
My emergency whiskey is in another room. Damn it. All right.
Parasite.
No, I got it. I got the joke. That's not the question. I was actually
parasites.
Trying. We just lost someone and now everything's all wonky on Discord.
Great. Well, I broke the chat.
You sure
broke
did.
Chat, I broke Rowan. I broke you.
Sure did. Okay, then. Yeah, it warped the stream. Now we're back.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Yeah. I'm going to say I got it. It makes sense. I was trying to think more literal, like a combination. Shame on me for doing that. I should know better.
I don't know why. I was like thinking of fleas. Like, that's where my mind was. Like,
I was thinking more of that, too. I was like, okay, what do they have in common? What's a comparison? Like, it's an SAT question. You know,
I was like, trying to think of like a French like pun, like something like a French term that you could like that you could associate with it.
Parasites, get it?
Yeah, I do, and I hate it.
I like how either someone in chat did get it, or they're explaining it. They said they're a parasite / parasite. So either they got it, or they wanted to type it out and explain it for you. Oh,
yeah, I didn't catch the timing, but I'm happy either way.
Mm-hmm. Someone just said Super Mario Game Over music here. tomato, strawberries.
You're throwing tomatoes at yourself.
I'm just sharing the love.
Is he just enjoying popcorn?
Someone just said for the chicken jockey stuff for Minecraft. As someone who was a movie theater usher in high school, I have never been more grossed out by seeing all that Minecraft chicken jockey stuff from grown-ups destroying theaters.
You see the one video of like the guy who launched fireworks in the theater?
I also saw the guy that brought in an actual chicken and smuggled him in a live chicken. What is wrong with people? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been a disaster.
It's chaos.
It's yeah. So
it's wild.
Parasites. That's a good way to end it. So thank you so much. We will see you next week for the Rock Hall. Whatever. Please leave your comments of who you think is going to go in the Rock Hall. This is the perfect time to do it, by the way. Thank you so much. We will see you next week. I do not have the best of expectations. Sorry. Mariah Carey is going to get in.
Can we start taking bets?
Mariah Carey is going to get in, and that's it. It's just a whole 2-hour presentation for Mariah Carey.
I'm just sticking to my word of wisdom. Keep your expectations super, super low, and you'll never be disappointed. Just like Rowan said.
Just have alcohol out at the ready.
Both of you should never be high school like counselors.
You would, why?
Because
let them have
why? I would be so good at educating children.
You both would be fired on the first week easily.
Boo.